Thank you again for tonight. As we do in every service, we ask for your power upon the speaker. We ask the Lord to be at the special and the Lord the rest of the singing. And anyone still getting here, get them here safely. Pray, Lord, you bless our nation, and especially, Lord, that you'd help us as Christians that we might try to make a difference in our town and then also across Texas and the United States in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
All right, we're going to sing Little Is Much When God Is In It.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, hear the harvest calling you. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go.
Take care of the stuff that's not the normal stuff first, so I don't forget it. Unless they change it, the plans right now is for March the 27th. That'll be 2 weeks from this Saturday. Will be the funeral for the Grisenbecks. It'll be 11 o'clock here at the church. So that's March the 27th. It's 2.5 weeks away on the 27th of March here at the church. Also, if anyone needs a dryer, it is an Admiral dryer. We have pictures of it, but Brother Mitchell has one that you can have for free. It's an electric dryer, right, Mitchell? Electric dryer. So if you need a dryer, see Brother Mitchell after church. Or if you know someone that needs a dryer, if not, he's just going to give it to someone, give it away. So if you need a dryer or know someone, see him. This is for everyone. Our janitors probably aren't the ones doing this, but if you try to throw anything in the dumpster now, you'll find they're locked. They're locked for a reason. The recyclable bin, every time we throw stuff in there that's, if you are helpful by grabbing a bag and wadding it up, tying it, and going throwing it in the dumpster, and you throw it in the wrong dumpster, they get fined for that. This last month, they said their bill, the because of the stuff that was put in there, they had over $1,000 for the dumpster fee. And they said they've been fined several times for stuff. So if you have if you even throw boxes in it, if the boxes are not knocked down in the recycle bin, they get fined. So first they got warned, but they've been fined. Now we have some people that throw stuff in our dumpster. Sometimes it's not our church, and that's also why they locked them up. But that's because of the. So if you're wondering why the dumpsters are locked, if you try to throw something in there and they're locked, you say, "Well, will you give me the code?" And the answer to that is no, because I don't want them to get fined anymore. So I didn't realize that there's even certain things if they're in the dumpster they can get fined for it. There's a camera on the truck, and when it dumps it, it takes a picture of it, and then they send it to them and tell them can't have these things in the dumpster. I don't know why. Again, it's going to the dump. I don't know why there's certain things you can't throw in the dumpster, but apparently there are. So. And apparently everything's supposed to be in a bag if we throw it in the dumpster. It's supposed to be in a bag and the bag tied. So I don't think they realize those bags aren't very, very hardy, and so it doesn't take much to knock a hole in the bag. But again, if you're wondering why they're locked, that's why they're locked. If you need Mrs. Plumstead's address or phone number, I have that. You can get that from me. And again, she would enjoy visits or a call. Also, Tim Grisenbeck or McKenzie. Now, Tim will only be able to be reached. He's been in the hotel because he came down with COVID, but he comes off of that on Friday of this week, so he'll be back to his regular unit. And in basic, most of you know that in basic training, you don't get phone calls. So I think he's allowed one every few weekends or something to call his wife. But again, if you want to call Tim right now, you can talk to him and visit with him because he's in just one of the hotels. And again, he would appreciate your calls. Because I'm not God, I don't control the weather. When I looked at the weather last, the weather Saturday is supposed to, it was only like a 5% chance, but someone told me that the chances have been upped on that. If it's raining, we can't do the stuff we was doing because all of it was outside, and we'll just have to do it some of the week. But if it's not raining, if it just looks like rain or cloudy or is thinking about raining, we will do it because we don't want to put it off again. But the event Saturday for the teens and their parents is scheduled for 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock either Brother Peugeot's or mine, my house. We live just a few 100 yards apart from each other, so you can park. Brother Peugeot's going to do most of the parking on his property, and then we'll be running back and forth, either walking or riding four-wheelers back and forth between the properties. But that is scheduled for 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock. If you need a ride, let me know, or if you need directions to get there. But since most of the parents are coming, we're not planning to have people come up here and run out there. We were already planning on being out there on the property. So if you do need a ride, please see us, and we'll get you a ride. Then the normal stuff going on this week, which means tomorrow night, 6:45 for soul winning. No youth activity Friday because of the fact that we'll be having the activity on Saturday. Saturday visitation at 9:30 in the morning for the buses, and then soul winning at 10:45. And then back in our places for Sunday school, 9:45 Sunday morning, 10:50 for church. We have some of you know that the seniors and I have been calling or asking you to do stuff for the walkathon. They're doing actually a bikeathon. I haven't done a walkathon for a long time. Bikeathon's not any fun either. Especially someone asked me how far 20 miles is, and I can tell you how far 20 miles is because used to we did from the highway 90 and 1604 to Castroville city limits and back. That's how far it is. 20 miles is a long ways. We used to do that, and that one is full of hills. I hated that one. But back then, there wasn't much traffic out that direction. Now there's a lot of traffic, so now we do it on the road between the Mrs. Reese's house and Mrs. Wood's house and that area. So we do it right in front of my property and Brother Peugeot's property. So we do it out there. But the seniors are doing a bike-a-thon. And again, I told someone if I can't do 20 miles in one day, I'll do 10 miles in one day and 10 miles the next. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've went. I used to run the 20 miles. When I say run, we'd run a while, walk a while, run a while, walk a while. But in my old age, last time it was a bike-a-thon, and that's been 4, 5, 6 years ago. So I don't know if I'm going to make 20 miles in one day. If not, I will make the 20 miles. It may take me a week, but I will get it done. So if you're wondering, the seniors have been asking you, and I made some phone calls. I tried to beat them to it because I didn't want to have to talk to someone. They say, I'm sorry, 3 of the seniors already talked to me. So the day we started it, I knew they'd be lazy, and I did not want to be, so I got on the phone, called a bunch of people, and asked folks. So those of you that was asking me when the date is, it's the 22nd. Now, this next week is spring break for Liberty Christian Academy, and the bike-a-thon is the Monday after spring break, so that is when that is scheduled. And spring break is next week, starting Friday at noon, and we'll be out of school. So, again, we sent a letter out, but Mom and Dad, if the kids didn't get the letter home, we start spring break this Friday at 12, and we'll be back in school we're out the whole week and be back on Monday. Don't forget to continue to pray for Preacher and Cindy and my wife as well. Brother Lowry, I haven't talked to him the last couple of days, but keep him in prayer. He's been really sick. Also continue to pray for Vita Ruiz. That is, again, we've got, it is Mike's mom or Gladys's mom, so pray for her. She had her first treatment today, correct? I know Gladys told me she had the first treatment day and wasn't real sick. They don't usually, if she's like most people don't get sick the first treatment or two. It's after you've had a few that you start getting pretty sick. But do pray for her. She is getting chemo. I'm not sure what type or what dose, but she's getting chemo, so pray for her. And again, don't forget to pray for Brother Lowry because he's been very sick.
All right, let's all stand, sing as a volunteer.
Thank you.
Corporal or a soldier's come to one and all. Soldiers for the conflict, will you heed the call? Will you answer quickly with a ready cheer? Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? Yes, Jesus calls for soldiers who are filled with power. Soldiers who will serve him every day and hour. He will not forsake you, he is ever near. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? And when the war is over and the victory won, gather one by one, he will crown with glory all who there appear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer, a soldier true. Why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer?
I'd just like to say, if anybody is going to participate in this seniors trip, I have plenty of bicycles to loan out. Let's go to the Lord. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time, this special time that we have to be able to give, Lord. We're so blessed to be in a church like this. We ask it in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
All right, we're singing Near to the Heart of God.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Us who wait before. for at least near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God.
Amen. I'd like to ask everybody, there's a guy that came today, and I do believe that he is a born-again believer, but he has been, different things happened to him in his life, and he's addicted to alcohol now. And he asked that God would take it away from him. And he's had things in the past few years taken away from him. And he wants to get the victory over this alcohol. And I just told him, you know, I'll pray for him. I took his number down, and I know that there are sins that any Christian can get involved in, that it will become a chore for you. And because I've had him in my life, and I've dealt with him, and I gave it to God, and God is the provider. He will provide a way out for you. And just pray for this man.
What was his name?
His name was Randy. Randy. And just pray for him. And he said he went to the church that was on Zazamora, and it was the church that I don't remember the guy's name, but it was a pastor here in San Antonio, that the Barrios Church, something like that. I don't know. But anyways, but just pray for him. Pray for him that he can get the victory over that sin, and pray for him that he is a. I mean, the man sounded distraught almost, that he needed to get the victory over this, and just pray for him, amen. The drunk on the street, the rich in their palaces, the poor and unlearned, and the men of degree. They all have a soul in need of salvation, and they all have a count, have to come by Calvary. I am so glad God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how he sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save an old sinner like me. Was I so wrong that I needed forgiveness? And was I so bad I had to be redeemed? Well, I wasn't a thief, but I lived in sin's prison, and I was as lost
as a sinner could be. Well, I am so glad God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how he sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save an old sinner like me. Well, the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save an old sinner like me.
That kind of sounds like one of Brother Roloff's songs, didn't it? He used to sing stuff like that. This week is time change. I forgot to mention a while ago. So on Saturday night, if you don't have a clock that changes itself, make sure you have the wherewithal to change it before you go to bed. You lose time. So if you go to bed at 10 o'clock, it became 11 o'clock. So this is the time that we lose an hour of sleep. Also, I'll mention it so that you'll know ahead. The Wednesday night offerings, we always take them for the upcoming meeting. We've got one coming up with Brother Murphy. We're going to have him May the 23rd, 24th, and 25th, which is a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and that'll be the graduation for our senior class on the 25th of May. And then Brother Coral's coming, I believe, in September. So we've got two events scheduled in the future. So if you're wondering, as far as the Wednesday night offerings, that's what that goes for, Brother Murphy in another month and a half, and then Brother Coral a couple months after that. So that's what's coming up in the future as far as our preaching engagements.
All right, Mark chapter 4. I'd like to read a very familiar passage. It's a very familiar kind of asked him not to put the title of the message up just yet. We're going to hold off a minute. It's a very familiar scene in the Bible, from a scene from the Lord Jesus' life. As not just him, not just the Lord, not just the Savior, but also the apostles and his followers. Mark chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "And he there speaking of Jesus, began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land." Matthew has another different account, but it's similar. You understand a little bit better what's going on. Matthew 13:2 says, "And a great multitude were gathered together on him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." So can you see Jesus? He's on this boat. You know, they put him, I mean, it's got, there's such a large crowd there, and he's not been able to reach everybody, so they put him on a boat, and he gets a little offshore, and I guess he uses that boat as his platform, and he starts preaching to them. While he's preaching to them, several things he preaches, he tells them a lot of parables. In this particular account, he's talking about parables. One of them is a very familiar parable, the sower. There's a bunch of others, but he's preaching these parables to them. I was listening to a preacher some time ago. He was talking about the brevity of messages these days. He made reference to Paul's preaching, specifically mentioned a message that took a long time. Remember that message he preached in Acts? Acts 27, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow." And then it says this, "And continued his speech." Now there it says his speech. "Until midnight," and verse 9 says, "And there sat in the window up above a certain man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep." My father told me years ago, he was talking to an anesthesiologist and a pastor at the same time, and he said, "Y'all both do the same thing, put people to sleep." But anyway, so this guy fell asleep, and it says, as Paul was long preaching. So it wasn't just a speech, he was preaching. But this fellow up there, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now, as a side note, Paul raised him from the dead pretty quick. But the preacher was complaining a bit and bemoaning the fact that he had to keep his messages kind of short. You know, he couldn't preach. He said, Paul preached till midnight. Well, one brave soul, one courageous man, one fearless attendee said, yeah, but Paul had something to say. Ouch. But back to our account. He got the scene on the Sea of Galilee after dealing with people all day long, abiding with all these folks, continuing with this great multitude. It appears that Jesus, he wanted to get away for just a bit, get away for a respite, if you will. Verse 35, all the way down to 35, says, in the same day when the even was come. So it's at night. It's getting close to night. The sun's going down. Nighttime's not far away. He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, I'm told by those who know that the other side from where he was would have been a less populated area where there'd be less people, somewhat more private. So it'd been a good place to go to kind of get a little rest for a minute. And several of the apostles, when they were going across there, had been in their former life before they became apostles, they had been fishermen and deckhands and mariners, so they knew the Sea of Galilee, and they knew its layout and location in the lake itself. They understood. The Sea of Galilee is small, and these winds may descend directly to the center of the lake with violent results. When the contrasting air masses meet, a storm can rise quickly. And without warning, small boats get caught up out on the sea and are in immediate danger. So they knew things might happen, but these guys are hardened mariners. Well, let's see what happened to these hardened mariners. Verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was. I thought that was an interesting statement. Even as he was. I mean, they didn't make any preparations, I guess. Just however he was, they took him. Even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and saith unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, we sing a song. Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high, the sky is all shattered, overshadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep? I mean, concern and worry and desperation is over them for their ship and the people that are inside. Preparing for this, I was listening to a couple of messages along the same lines. Water is not supposed to be on the boat. Rather, the boat was supposed to be on the water. And the water was coming into the ship. And they look for Jesus, and he's asleep. He's taking a nap. I mean, he's snoozing. What? Say it isn't so. You kidding me? I mean, the storm is gone. I mean, they're about ready to lose their life, and Jesus is down there sleeping. Now, these were experienced seamen that knew what could happen. They were expert mariners, knew the lake, knew the sea, veteran boat operators. Here they are, they're these veteran boat operators, and they're scared, and they're frightened, and they're mortified. My wife has a saying about this type of thing. She said, you wouldn't catch me in that boat. And here's her statement, I can't drink all that water. So anyway, Jesus, he arrives up on top, you know, and he awakens and he ascends, and with just a few words, makes everything okay. He appeases the sea, he appeases the storm. Verse 39, he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? Why is that you have no faith? I thought about a lot of things we could do. I thought about the great storm of the sea, the great stress of the seamen, the glossy stillness of the surface. I mean, I think of a lot of things we could look at when we're looking at this message. But I want to try to look at just a little phrase that's in one of the verses that's only in Mark. Now, this account's given in Matthew 8, and it's given in Luke 8 again. But in Mark, there's a little phrase that's in there, and I want you to notice the little phrase. And I told my wife when we were on here, I told her, I'm going to preach a message kind of like Brother Block does. I'm going to preach a thought message. How about that? I don't ever preach thought message, but this is what God put in my heart some time ago. So anyway, Mark 4:35 says, "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship." And notice this phrase, "And there were also with them other little ships." You can put the title of the message up there now if you would, fellas. Other little ships. Now, that statement's only found in Mark. It's not in Matthew. It's not in Luke. But it's placed here for us to read these other little ships. Let's pray, and then we're going to look at the other little ships. Father, I ask that you bless what's going to be said. We need your power, as we always do. I ask that you'd help me transfer it to my heart and mind, to the hearts of the folks that are here. Help them to get it. Move on us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Everybody say amen. Okay, so other little ships. Other little ships. First off, they were not the only ones. This ship they were in, they were not the only ones. Now, they ended up in an awful storm, an alarming storm, this agonizing storm. But get this, they were not alone. There were other little ships out there. It was not just them. I mean, they were not isolated. It wasn't just them, and at least four of these apostles, we already mentioned, at least four of them were experienced seamen. I mean, they should have been prepared. No doubt, they had been that way before, and they had been in storms much like that. They had been in similar situations, and they probably kind of knew what to do. But what did they do? They went, go get Jesus. They ran for Jesus. Now, I will say this, at least they ran to the right place. I mean, if you got to run to somebody, Jesus is a good one to run to. But may I say this, the more experienced Christians, the more experienced, the more mature Christians, I would say the older, but you know, we don't like to use that word these days. The more experienced Christians have been through some stuff. They've been through some sorrows. They've been through some storms in their life, and when they hit those storms, they've already been through those storms. They didn't just go into it. They've come out the other end. And they kind of know what's going to happen. They've had this experience before. Yeah, we've been this way before, whether it's financial, whatever the situation is, we've been this way before. God worked it out. We got out the other end. It's okay. So when you have older, more mature Christians, and they go through these troubles, like these apostles, these four guys, they knew about what the sea was going to be like and what the ship would be like on the sea. They were more experienced, should have known a little more about it. But you know, as experienced Christians, when we go through troubles, God does that for a reason. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation," our testings, our turmoil, "who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Galatians 6:1 puts it this way, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual," the older, the more mature Christian, "restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So I was thinking about this, the other little ships. You know, they were kind of being selfish, weren't they? I mean, all they could think about, I mean, there's these other ships out there, and they're little ships. Now, I don't know what size the ship Jesus was in, they were in, but I get the idea from when it says the other and other little ships, I assume they're probably smaller. And they were going through the same storm. But rather than them think, oh, we got to worry about these. We've been this way. Guys, it's all right. We've been this way before. We're going to get through this. But we need to watch out for these other little ships around us. These other ships around us, they've not been this way before. They may have not been in this situation before. We have. We know we're going to work it out. And so the older Christian, when you're going through troubles, we know how it's going to kind of go through. God brings us through. And we know how it is on the other end. But younger Christians, they sometimes don't have that. And us older Christians, what we're supposed to do is help them through their trouble, like God helped us through ours. I got to think about several different groups. One of the groups I thought of and it came to my mind immediately when I was reading. I'm reading in about Mark. I think I read Mark 12 today. So when I was reading through Mark 4, which is a while back, that phrase just stuck out to me. And the first thing I thought about was this: children, other little ships. Rob Block taught us years ago working with teenagers. You know, the problems we go through as adults, I mean, they're big problems. The problems that teenagers go through and even children go through, they're nothing. I mean, so they don't like you. Who cares? They called you a name. They said they're not going to call you or text you anymore. Oh, heavens to birth. Oh, man, I'm going to die. Now, you know what I think? Great, let me take you off my phone. Let me take you off Facebook. Let me get your name out of there, and we'll all be happy. Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. If you're going to be like that, you weren't a friend in the first place anyway. Not going to bother me at all. But the children, they're really susceptible. I mean, the little problems that we think, wait till you get to, you know, get some bills and get some responsibility and some accountability, if there is anything like that anymore. But children, thought about this Sunday school classes. You know, you may be the only Jesus they see in their life. You may be the only representative for Jesus they ever experience. You might be the only example of Jesus that they have. That means even when you're in a storm, even when you're in a struggle, even when you're in a stressful situation, they need to see Jesus. They need to see our God. They need to see our Savior. Now, maybe you're having some trouble with bills and financial troubles and money issues. They still need to see Jesus. Maybe you're having some health issues or some diseases or sicknesses, or maybe somebody in your family, they still need to see Jesus. You might have some family problems, some friction in the home. They still need to see Jesus. When you stand in front of those boys and girls, it's time to shift your care to them. Now, the apostles, all they could think about was themselves. But when you get in front of those boys and girls, it's time for you to shift your care to them. Change your focus. Switch your thoughts. In children's church, this is particularly true. I mean, it's kind of like, it's showtime! Woo! We're in children's church. Aren't we glad to be in church today? Now, the person that's doing that may have lots of problems. But it's time to put those on the back burner. Because these children, they need to see Jesus. Say, well, how can I do that? Well, let me give you a couple things. Have a plan. I mean, in your Sunday school class, have yourself a plan. Have an order of services of sorts. Because even when you feel bad, even if you have a bad day, if you're struggling a bit, your plan will help you through. I mean, you get on there and say, okay, yeah, first got to do this. Okay. All right, let's go. Make them feel important. Children don't feel important these days. Make them feel important. Make sure that they can tell that you're being kind to them. And children can tell. They can see right through adults. Matthew 18:6 says this: Jesus has a special place in his heart for children. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, Would you believe in me if it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea? Matthew 18:10 says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. You better be careful about children. I read a couple of funny stories. I'll give you a couple from a children's perspective. The Sunday school teacher was describing how Lot's wife, looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. When little Jason interrupted, my mommy looked back once while she was driving, he announced triumphantly, and she turned into a telephone pole. I think that's exactly what they're trying to get across. A Sunday school teacher was telling her class the story of the Good Samaritan. She asked the class, if you saw a person lying on the roadside, wounded and bleeding, what would you do? A thoughtful little girl broke the hushed silence and said, I think I'd throw up. That's the innocence of children. But whatever you're going through, they're the little ships, the other little ships. They need to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus in you. So Sunday school classes I thought of. Bus riders. This goes for children's church, bus riders, Sunday school classes, all of these type of things. These little ones are still important to God. In fact, I think perhaps more important than the rest of us. Special place in God's heart for the little ones. Be kind. Again, even when you're having a bad day. I read this. There's a young lady by the name of Velvet. She said, my name is Velvet. And I'm 25 years old. I grew up in an abusive, alcoholic, and drug-infested home. My mom insisted my siblings and I go to church so that she was free to go and do as she pleased. You bus drivers and bus workers, does that sound familiar, bus captains? Yeah, we'll be glad to. How long are they going to stay there? You can't make another hour? Eventually, we moved to Georgia and lived with my grandpa. Grandma, who attended a small church in nearby South Carolina, which had a bus ministry. We later moved again 45 minutes away from that church. The youth pastor, who had also grown up in the bus ministry, began picking us up for church. I've grown so much in the Lord, and now a bus worker in the same church. I work with the children's ministries and wouldn't trade my Sundays and Wednesdays for anything in the world. I am so grateful for the bus ministry and all those people who continue to run the buses. Other little ships. We're not by ourselves. There's other people around, and particularly these children. Secondly, babes in Christ. Many of us have been saved for 20 or 30 or 40 years. You know, we're some of the more mature, experienced Christians, some of us. And hopefully by now we do mostly the right things pretty much by habit. You know, the important things. I've been talking to someone here for the last several weeks about the importance of just coming to church. Yeah. I mean, many questions, many issues, many troubles and trials in your life will get answered if you just show up at church. Yeah. Bible reading, giving, witnessing, and prayer. You know the five things. But babes in Christ, they need help to get in, you know, we do that kind of, again, by habit. But the younger Christians, they haven't quite developed those habits yet, so we need to watch for the other little ships. You know, children, they're kind of funny. They can't stand when they're real small. They can't stand. Now they'll begin pulling up, and they'll make a mess. You know, when we had children at home, I tell people, we child-proofed our home, but they still kept getting in. So, you know, as the children grow up, you child-proof. You move everything up higher and higher and higher so they can't get to it. They do funny things. They also do some things that are kind of annoying. They cry. They cry when they're hungry. They cry when they're wet. They cry when they're sleepy. I mean, just irritating. Baby Christians, they do some of those things as well, but they're still those other little ships, and we need to be watching for them. Again, I read this account, thought it was kind of cute. In Sunday school, they were teaching how God created everything, including human beings. Amen. He did. Little Johnny seemed especially intent when they told him how Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying as though he were ill and said, "Johnny, what is the matter?" Little Johnny responded, "I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife." There's another couple kids that were in church, and they were pretty rowdy. Every chance they got, they were always in trouble. And the parents were at the wit's end, and they didn't know what to do with the son's behavior. So the mother heard of a clergyman in town who had been successful in discipling children in the past. So she asked her husband if he thought they should send the boys to speak with the clergyman. Husband said, "We might as well. We need to do something before we really lose our temper." And the clergyman agreed to speak with the boys, but asked to see them individually. So the 8-year-old went first, met with him first, and the clergyman sat the boy down and asked him sternly, "Where is God?" The boy had no answer. He had no idea what to say. So he just sat there quiet for once. And he made no attempt to answer. So the clergyman raised his voice a little bit and said, "Where is God?" Still no answer. He finally said, "Where is God?" About that time, he got up. He flew out of there, got his brother. They went, both went, ran home. And he told his brother, "We're in big trouble. God is missing. They think we did it." Babes in Christ. We need to watch out for the babes in Christ. We need to help them along. Babies don't grow from babies to adults easily. And they don't grow from babies to adults without a lot of mess, without a lot of work, a lot of time. It's the same with the babes in Christ. All right, so that first thing, they were not the only ones out there. Number two, and this is my last point, so this will be good for you. Everybody goes, "Oh, great." They were the only ones with Jesus on board. Now, there were other little ships, but they were the only ones with Jesus on board. When the storm came, when the waves came, when the water came in, they had Jesus on board. Now, he was asleep, but he was in the boat. He was inside their vessel, and they could go get him. May I say to you that if we're saved, we have Jesus as our Savior. When we trust Christ, when we are redeemed, Jesus moves in. Amen. He takes up residence. I've heard people say, "Well, you can't say Jesus moved in." Really? Colossians 1:27 says, "To whom God make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you." That sounds like Jesus moved into me. Yeah. Romans 8:9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And I can quote a lot of other verses, but you get the idea. What a benefit. What a blessing we have. What a bonus we have that Jesus has moved in. I've got several stories here, but I need to hurry on, so I'm going to skip some of these. But my question sometimes when I see other people go through troubles, I go, I wonder how they do it. I know some folks, they're lost. They don't want to hear anything about it. I've given them tracts and talked to them. They don't want to hear it. How did they go through their trouble? I mean, I'm going to get Jesus. Lord Jesus, I'm in trouble. And he comes to my aid, but because I have Jesus inside, how do they face these troubles without Jesus inside? I have no idea. I do know this. Jesus can calm the sea. He can calm the waves. He can calm the winds. And we can come up the other side of that trial and move on. So, they were the only ones that had Jesus inside. But now there's other little ships. They don't have Jesus. Contrary-wise, the folks who do not have Jesus, how do they face those moments of life? We have the words. We have the prescription. We have the plan for them. All we got to do is tell them. And hopefully they'll welcome it. And if they don't, they are not rejecting you. If you provide them the plan of salvation, and they say, no, we don't want none of that, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him. I read this account. Born in a small town with two brothers and a sister, I spent my growing up totally involved with athletics. At age 15, my then focus shifted to alcohol, promiscuity, and all that accompanies that lifestyle. Although still active in sport throughout high school, there was a large void in my life that I kept trying to fill. By the time I was 20 years old, getting drunk and into trouble and a promiscuous lifestyle was my world. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to death. This is part of this guy's testimony. A move to Colorado would surely change my luck. In 1984, I did this, and God put me on a collision course with Jesus Christ. After being hired by a Christian man in the business of property management, I worked hard and moved up the responsibility ladder quickly in a little over 2 years, but my alcohol addiction and sinful lifestyle continued. On August 7, 1987, so a few years later, I suffered a cerebral hematoma. Only by God's grace did I survive this and the emergency brain operation. While recovering in the hospital, a phone call from a Christian uncle called me and told me about Jesus. And he said he had an odd visit from a Christian lady he barely knew who prayed fervently for me in my room. And I got a Bible from my boss. Set the stage for God's amazing grace once again. Upon release from the hospital, I had some physical disabilities that reminded me of my brush with death. Then on October 29th, 1987, my boss presented the gospel to me and led me to Jesus. My life changed drastically soon after this, and my new life as a new creation started to sweep out the sin of alcohol abuse, promiscuity out of my life. My hunger now is for God's word. I don't know how people that are unsaved, I don't even know how they handle storms. When they go through storms, they need Jesus like we have. And if we don't tell them, who's going to? Who's going to? I trust you can respond appropriately to the message. Mark 4:36 says, and when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. They were in a boat, but they were not the only ones. There were the others, these other little ships. As Christians, won't you be a help? As Christians, won't you share with other Christians, especially the younger ones, help them through the troubles? It's going to take you some time. It's going to take some money. As Christians, we ought to be a witness. And so we're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. But I'm hoping that you get this thing, the other little ships, children, Sunday school classes, bus riders, babes in Christ. And then us that are saved, we have Jesus inside. Those that don't, they don't have Jesus. If here tonight you don't have Jesus, we'd love to show you from the Bible how you could trust Jesus as your Savior this very night. Let's go and pray. Father, I ask that you bless what's been said. We need your help, as we always do. I ask that you would bless this time of invitation. Work in the people's hearts. Lord, you know you put this on my heart. I'm 100%. Finish the message in each of the hearts of the folks that are here tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never even asked Jesus to save you before. You don't even have Jesus inside yet.